This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
And it's Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking around the globe one country at a time. Tonight in the studio with me, we have Damien.
Hi.
And Sarah's here too.
Hello.
And myself, Matt. The Italian Film Festival has kicked off in Melbourne and this year hosts a solid selection of queer content. Among the list is a film about a highly controversial and openly gay journalist, filmmaker and artist who was murdered in Italy in 1975. His name is Pier Paolo Pasolini. What made him such a divisive figure in Italian society? What part did his open display of homosexuality in the 60s and 70s play in his demise? And what legacy does he leave for the Italian society today?
Opening some vino and kicking back with some bolognese with us tonight is David Grieco, director of the film La Macchinazione, otherwise known as The Ploy, showing at the Lavazza Italian Film Festival. Here's a taste of what you have coming up tonight.
That is very complicated because the machination has been established in order to kill him, but also and mainly in order to make his reputation dirty. This is what is unbearable in the story. And this is why Pasolini is not actually in the programs of Italian school.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
And we're off to the UK, where Chloe Allen, 24, joined the army in 2012 as a man, started her transition this month, beginning her hormone therapy. Allen, who has now officially changed her name, thought she would have to leave her post in the 1st Battalion Scots Guards because of the restrictions on females serving on the front line. However, after talking to a careers officer, she was told she could stay in her role as a rifleman and armoured truck driver.
So within the British Armed Forces, there are restrictions on women. They say due to physical limitations, with frontline soldiers expected to, or they're tested really, they're expected to work quite relentlessly, carry, you know, large weights, backpacks, guns, all those sorts of things on a daily basis.
And some of those limitations were actually removed just earlier this year. The rules which previously banned women from ground close combat units now no longer apply.
Now, there is actually also a chief of defence personnel who's in charge of diversity and inclusivity in the armed forces. And he was on
show. Which is pretty impressive. I like the fact that they've got somebody that looks
even
after
exists.
That.
Yeah.
His name is Gregory, and he believed that army recruiters need to tap all sections of society to get the people that they need for the army.
Yeah.
And when asked about inclusion, he was unsure what the future would hold. They didn't have any particular female transgender people serving in the infantry, and it's something they're looking to address going forward.
Now, over to Sweden. It became the first country in the world to hit the major milestone in the fight against HIV. This is the 90-90-90 that we've talked about.
Please explain.
It is an aim for countries to have 90% of a country's HIV-positive population being diagnosed, 90% of those testing positive being on treatment, and at least 90% of those on treatment having undetectable viral loads, which would mean that if a country hits these targets, 73% of people with HIV would basically be almost unable to transmit it. So it would make a huge difference to the country's HIV infection rates.
And this is one of the, bold aims that has come out of the AIDS conferences, the World AIDS conferences, one of which Melbourne hosted just recently. So Sweden has become the first country to actually achieve that milestone. Good on you, Sweden. The target, we'll have to find out where Australia sits in this, but certainly from a UK point of view, it's estimated that around 25% of those who are HIV positive are unaware of their status or undiagnosed. So they're still quite a way off the target. I'm probably thinking we're around the UK elements as well.
Yeah, I imagine so. In Sweden, they've overdone the target. So they've got 99.8%
of people. Oh, those Swedes, they've just got
treatment.
Outdo everybody.
They found that a recent study of condomless sex between serodiscordant couples, where one's positive and on treatment and one's negative, was unable to identify one incidence of infection over approximately 40,000 incidents of sex.
Wow, that's pretty
impressive. So someone counted
actually
how many times they had sex, is what I was thinking.
Okay, I hadn't quite gone there until you mentioned it. Across to Indonesia now, where it is looking more and more likely that the Indonesian government will block apps such as Grindr and up to 80 gay websites in a clampdown on what they're calling, quote, deviant propaganda. Homosexuality has never been illegal in this Islamic country, but as you've probably heard, if you're a regular listener to our show, we've been covering Indonesia across this year, where there has been a significant upturn in homophobic attacks and certainly homophobic rhetoric from politicians.
Yeah, it's just been going terribly, and they're saying they claim that apps harbour an online paedophile ring, and advocates say they're using the issue as a Trojan horse to enforce homophobic censorship.
I don't know. Maybe Indonesia has become the Russia of the South. What do you reckon?
It has. Very much the gay propaganda type of story that's being propagated there. And it seems to be getting worse. It seems to be going downhill.
Yeah, it would join countries like China and the United Arab Emirates, which also attempt to censor gay online content.
Probably not a group you'd want to be in.
No.
In brief, in Hong Kong, openly gay lawmaker Ray Chan Chin Chuin has said that his re-election in last week's polls shows that sexual orientation is not box office poison.
And in the US, 92-year-old New York granny Frances Golden has attended her 30th Pride March in a row, displaying the same sign each year, which reads, "I adore my lesbian daughters, keep them safe."
Aww.
And right here in Melbourne, the Victorian government has announced they will increase funding for LGBTI mental health services if a same-sex marriage plebiscite goes ahead.
And in Rome, Italy, the first same-sex civil union has been held 3 months after a law came into force that accepts same-sex unions, and that's very much on topic for us tonight in Italy. And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Eve from Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
Worldwide Wave, we are tonight in Italy.
We've had some messages come in.
Quite a few messages. Mike says, we're in talking about the first British female soldier to serve on the front line, says, there's a hell of a lot of women stronger than me. Gender means nothing. Thanks, Mike. We tend to agree with you on that one. And Melina, perfect theme tonight, gentlemen. The European sensibilities in the Italian film are more open to deal with sexual identity in a more progressive and thought-provoking manner. The irreverence of this film festival has evolved into being a more sophisticated realm where audiences are made to think about our own conservatism. Ciao, Bella. Ciao. Ciao.
Grazie.
Very interesting concepts there, you know, is film away. I remember when we did the director of the Hong Kong Film Festival, and they were very much using that as a way to change societal impacts. So very, very interesting. This is Worldwide Wave.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We are talking to the director tonight of the film, which is Damien.
called La Macchinazione.
You're going to have to help me. La Macchinazione.
That's not too bad, which translates, well, loosely translates to the ploy.
Yes, and it's a film about Pier Paolo Pasolini, who was a very controversial figure in Italian life for many, many years.
What did he do?
Well, he was a poet, a writer, a filmmaker, a script...
What didn't he do?
Screenwriter, playwright and journalist. And journalism seems to be the one that got him in the most hot water. But really is considered to be one of the great artists and intellectuals for Italy in the 20th century. And he sort of he made observations about Italian society. And, of course, if you've got the power of the pen...
So what you're saying, he was a journo who was brutally honest.
He was brutally honest. I was trying to pick somebody in Australia who might kind of reflect this same sort of appeal.
What'd you come up with?
I don't know. I was thinking, is it a gay Andrew Bolt? But then, Pasolini seems to be a very intelligent man. He was openly gay, and for the 60s and 70s, he seems to be just right out there. And in fact, he sort of brought homosexuality and his story into some of the movies that he created.
So like everything else he reported on, he was quite upfront about it. He didn't try to hide anything. Yeah. He just said, well, this is what it is.
I guess in the beginning, his teaching career was ruined in 1949 when he was outed by political enemies for his homosexuality. So I guess from that, he probably learned to own it.
Yeah, kind of had to.
Had no choice.
Even got chucked out of the Communist Party because of it.
And also had his teaching post revoked. So it wasn't without consequence.
He's also known for... he produced quite a large volume of homoerotic poetry. Hasn't been published, but it's certainly there. And one of the people that he wrote about in that poetry was Ninetto Davoli, who was the rather cute actor that appeared in about six or seven of his films. So there's a bit of infatuation there. And they had a relationship. Their relationship actually started when Ninetto was only 15, and it went on for a few years. But they maintained their friendship, and I guess Pasolini became a mentor to him as they developed. It didn't end happily, though.
No.
And we're going to talk about that more with our guest tonight, but Pasolini was actually murdered, and there's quite a story that goes along with that. So we're going to delve into that as we explore Italia.
Hi, I'm Amikon Hovsepian. I work for Pink Armenia, and our organization deals with LGBT issues here for the World Wide Wave.
It is the Italian Film Festival in Melbourne, and this year there are a number of LGBT-themed films within it. We caught up with the director of the film La Macchinazione, David Grieco.
The film is about Pier Paolo Pasolini, who is fairly foreign to us as Australians, but seems like quite an extraordinary person. Tell us a bit about him.
He was really, and you said the word. He was an extraordinary man, and I think he showed that most of all as a journalist. No one agrees to call him a journalist. I don't know why, in Italy, but he's been really an amazing journalist. He's been writing things that I don't know. No other journalist in the world had the courage to write what he wrote. I mean, not even Woodward and Bernstein at the times of Nixon impeachment. He was so straight because he was also a poet. So he was saying the things just like the things are, not even trying to mask names and facts. And he really did an incredible job. But this is why he's been killed. He really went too far.
Give us a bit of an idea of how big he was, how big his profile was in Italy.
The profile was big, but it was also a very scandalous profile. I mean, the Italian were exactly divided in people pro and people against Pasolini. And in a very, very straight way, just as an example, it happened to me two times walking on the street with him and crossing some people, spitting on him.
Wow.
And once, I was very young at the time, and once I jumped on this guy in order to react, and he stopped me, saying, you know, I'm very used to it. Don't worry. No problem. Just go on. Just ignore him. We don't want to make a fight in the middle of the street. Just to tell you how much he was loved by some and how much he was hated by some others. Even to talk about numbers, he was writing on Il Corriere della Sera, which was, at the time, no doubt, the main newspaper in Italy. And every time he was writing an article, the readers were estimated around 5 to 6 million. Of course, 40 years ago, people were a lot more used to read newspapers. Now we have internet, and now it's different. But he was really important at the time. And everyone was shocked by what he was writing, but he didn't stop for that.
That's David Grieco, director of the film La Macchinazione, speaking of outspoken journalist and artist Pier Paolo Pasolini. The film is part of this year's Lavazza Italian Film Festival. You're on World Wide Wave.
Hello, this is Eric from Greenland on Chai 94.9.
Message in. I agree with Melina. The riddles of sexual identity, especially in European film, is sometimes difficult for conservative people to understand. French film is difficult for me to understand, I have to say. This nonchalant, the blurring of homosexuality by and heterosexuality is fun to watch. Cool chick. Ooh, that's not me. It is interesting, though, the way, European film does tend to blur. It's not as much of an issue.
But so does that just mean that European film is probably more an accurate representation of life in general, not just in Europe, but just, you know, what's really going on behind people's faces in their heads that isn't just pop culture?
Oh, that's far too deep for me. perhaps our listeners have got some thoughts on that.
Joy. Tonight we're in Italy and speaking with the director of the film La Macchinazione, about the famous gay Italian Pier Paolo Pasolini. And David has been explaining the high profile of openly gay Pasolini. And we asked him if the source of the controversy was just in his forthright views, or was it more personal, perhaps related to his sexuality?
No, he was transparent. He was a man that never told a lie in his life. He was obsessed by loyalty, by honesty, and this is what I learned from him. And the only lie he said in his life was a very painful one, because he always said that he's never been inscribed at the Italian Communist Party, and he never has been inscribed to any party, which was not true, because when he was very young, he was the boss of a very little place of the Communist Party in this little village where he was living. But he's been thrown out from the party for homosexuality. And this was so unacceptable for him, and I understand that he always said this little lie. But he said that all the time. And of course, no one told him, no, you're wrong, you've been inscribed at that time, and so on. But no one ever said, this is not true, you know. But this is the only lie. He was pure. I mean, he was an evangelic communist, which is something that I think can happen only in Italy or maybe in Spain. So he was, Jesus Christ was very, very important for him. He made an amazing film about Jesus Christ that the Pope recently said that was the best film ever made about Jesus Christ, even if he was not religious. He didn't believe in God.
How did people react to him being gay? I mean, what was being gay like in Italy in the 60s and 70s? So he was living openly as a homosexual?
Absolutely. Not only openly, but he was very provocative about it. If you go to see a beautiful documentary made, that is called Comizi d'Amore, And it's a reportage through Italy where he travels himself with a microphone and interviews people, women, men, children, about sexuality. And he always says, what do you think about homosexuals? And not even using that word homosexual, but using the words that, of course, not beautiful words that the people used to say. And he was saying that was his face. And he was very popular at the time, very successful. That was, of course, after Accattone and Mamma Roma, his first two films. And he loved to do that. And some people were embarrassed, but at the same time, he took out from these people he interviewed the truth, because he was so saying the truth that he was kind of asking the truth to everybody. And if you see that documentary, it's quite amazing from an anthropologic and sociologic point of view. It's very important to describe the Italy of that time, of the 60s. He was all the time in the streets, not only at night, because there's such a mythology about his sexual appetite. There's been so many people saying he was sadomasochistic, which was not true at all. He was always on the street. And as soon as he started earning money, all his money were in his pocket. And in Rome, everyone was approaching him like, sorry, Paolo, my mother is sick. We need a doctor. We don't have the money. Or I've lost my job. I've lost my house. And he was giving money to everybody and saying, I don't care if someone is lying and it's just a trick to have some money. I have some money and I have to share this money with everybody.
David, sometimes things get lost in translation, and the program here lists the film as The Ploy, but I believe you're not a fan of that name.
Yes, which is because I've seen some English title, The Ploy, which is horrible in my opinion. and it's funny because, of course, it's not a common word, not a current word, but machination exists in English, like it exists in French, maquination, and like in Spanish, maquination. But it's not a very frequent word, so this is why I guess they're going to change it in many countries. And it's a shame because this word is becoming very popular now in Italy since the film came out, the book and the film came out. And in a way, we're all in some kind of maquination nowadays. So I think it's a useful word.
I have to agree. That's I have to agree with David. David Greco, the director of the film La Macchinazione. So in the program here, you'll see it as The Ploy. If you go online to the film festival, look for The Ploy. But I have to agree that interpretation, the machinations, sounds like it's a much better fit than The Ploy.
Yeah, well, it sounds so horrible. Much more it's interesting. Horrible, you kind of understand the intrigue that might be in...
Yeah, I think it's a bit more of a loaded word, machinations. The ploy sounds a bit simplistic.
Hmm. I did love his comment there that he called him an evangelic communist. And I hadn't realised, actually, how much religion played a part in his life as well. So living as openly gay...
He was in Italy, of course religion played a part.
Yeah, but it's the most Catholic country, and let's go back 50 years when, you know, homosexuality was not as accepted as it is today, and he was way out there in the most Catholic country, which was probably the most antagonistic towards LGBT people.
For sure. This guy was no hold barred. And as David Grieco said, commenting on him, that he was, you know, he never told a lie. He was just dead set, honest and truthful and completely transparent. So one can only imagine the courage and conviction it took to really be himself in that time in Italy.
I wonder if that came from, you sort of alluded to it, Sarah, that perhaps that early outing of him in a fairly public way kind of brought some defiance that, you know, I'm gay, that's it, and you know, I will live as brutally honest as I can.
Well, yeah, you probably went, oh, well, you know, cat's out of the bag now, so let's run with it.
And once you don't have to hide it, you lose a lot of those inhibitions and fears of what might happen. So, yeah, and he was very intellectual and bourgeois and against the bourgeois. We call it bourgeois now, I think, but he was all against them living their lies.
That's right. That's right. I can't wait to see it, actually. We've got a bit more coming up from David as well. A message in his references in the film are made to politics, religion, sex and history. I know, it's got everything. The character speaks simply. His films make you think 2 or 3 months after you view them. It's a true testament to his success. That's quite extraordinary that when a film can grow on you and, I guess, challenge your way of thinking even months after you've seen it.
Yeah, well, a good film, I suppose, will plant those seeds that, you know, take time to digest and time to grow and time for you to wrap your head around. So sounds like a good one to see.
It is a gift. More coming up with David very shortly. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, this is Effie from Pewa, Kenya. We are supporting gender and sexual minorities in Africa on the World Wide Wave.
This Friday is Bi Visibility Day, also known as the International Celebrate Bisexuality Day, which is to highlight biphobia and raise awareness for the bisexual community. Now, here at Joy, we actually have a bi show now, which is a great addition to the latest grid, and good on them.
Guess what? It's actually on tonight.
It is. It's on later on tonight at 10 o'clock. Stick around. A couple of messages coming in too. Melina, people like him, this is Pasolini, people like him are artists like Prince. They're complex individuals where religiosity and sex are dynamically interrelated. I like that. Through their art, they are true visionaries. They inspire us to live our lives and just be ourselves. Can't wait to see it. Neither can we, Melina. Thank you for that wonderful message. And another one there too. Ooh, a Pasolini quote. Thanks, 317. Death does determine life.
Ooh, that sounds... We need to sit on that one for
That's
a while.
Right.
That one's profound.
Philosophical. Now, tonight we're talking about Pasolini and mystery and intrigue surrounded his death, reported to be at the hands of a male street hustler. So we asked David to tell us what is fact and what is fiction.
That is very complicated because the machination has been established in order to kill him, but also and mainly in order to make his reputation dirty. This is what is unbearable in the story. And this is why Pasolini is not actually in the programs of Italian school. He's the most important intellectual of the second half of the last century, but he's not in the schools. He can go sometimes in the school. You can show a film or talk about one of his books, but only if you have a very brave teacher that starts all the bureaucracy in order to teach some of Pasolini. And now with this film, I'm going to go to the school, in the schools. I'm going to start in a couple of weeks. And this is, for me, one of the most important achievements of this film, because the young people, they really want to talk about Pasolini, because they read his books. They read mostly the articles he has written that are all in some books. And there's really a hunger about Pasolini's thoughts, also because he described terrible society coming, and the young people, they're in this terrible society nowadays, 40 years later. So they understand very much what he said, more than what I could possibly understand at the time. And also, a lot of people thought he was crazy, he was having some hallucinations. But then we found out that his hallucinations became little by little our reality.
The film is La Macchinazione, and the director is David Grieco. It is showing at the Lavazza Italian Film Festival here in Melbourne and in Sydney and around Australia. David Grieco, thank you for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy it. Ciao.
Ciao, indeed. It is. I'm heading out to see it, and can't wait. And I have to say, and Damien, you were in on this interview as well. What a delightful man David was, both in what he offered in the interview, but also how he got to the interview. Because when we rang, when we rang him to speak to him, we'd lined up a time, and he was on a bus. And we said, oh, okay, all right, well, you know, we'll ring back into it. No, I will get off the bus. And he got off the bus and he went and found a little private garden and sat in and chatted to us for, you know, 15, 20 minutes to tell us all about this great film. I don't think in prior to this I had a sense of how big Pasolini was and how much of an impact he has had on Italian culture and how his queerness fitted in with that as well. So I think it's going to be a ripper of a movie.
What a figure indeed.
Indeed. And there should be more stories like this told. We should go back into our history. You know, that idea of thinking who's the Australian equivalent, who's that driver that should be have a film, a documentary made about them here in Australia.
Yeah. I think we also have to remember all the nuances of people's personality. So it's not just... He did one thing.
And yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head right there. It's not so much that we don't have those people. It's probably people we know and we've heard of, but there's been those other aspects of a person that haven't come to light or that have been underplayed or buried because it just hasn't been, appropriate for the time. But, yeah, maybe a little bit more digging will reveal some interesting stories.
Now, we just posted on our Facebook page the link to the film. On the website for the film festival, so you can see all the session times there. Go to W3Joy on Facebook. This is World Wide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Hi, I am Tim.
And I'm Ben.
From Hallam, Melbourne.
And you are listening to the World Wide Wave.
On Joy 94.9.
Where we take you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight, where did we go?
Italia.
Off to Italia.
A final message in from 317. Great show tonight. Very sensual and smart. I think she's referring to us as presenters. I'm sure that's it. A big thank you to our guest tonight, David Greco, the director of La Macca. You go, Damien.
You got it every time except the last one. La Macchinazione.
You'll see it listed under the ploy at the Lavazza Italian Film Festival. First screening was actually tonight. There's four more showings across the Palace Theatres here in Melbourne, and we post a link on our Facebook page. And speaking of Facebook...
Thank you to all the messages we've received throughout the week from Shashi, Helen, Joy, William, Finella, and a heap more. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And Steve's just messaging, what about Salò? You can't talk about Pasolini without mentioning Salò. Thank you for that one. We'll catch you next week on the World Wide Wave.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, Australia's best radio station.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.